part of the welcome, I asked, you know, have you ever noticed how many signs, how many posters, how many billboards try to make an imprint on your life? With this proposition, this can be yours. Think about it. You can look like this. You can have this. You can be this. From weight loss programs to lingerie commercials, it all presents imagery. And it tries to create, in a marketing sense, a desire in the clientele and the market that they're trying to reach. Yes. I sometimes need help. Thank you. So it all tries to give an imprint and present to you an image that you picture yourself in. From the mannequins in JCPenney's or Dillard's or wherever you shop, that they put the clothing, you know, that's on display on the racks, and they will have it fixed just so. And to make it even more desirable, you know, that skinny little mannequin will have a size 8 outfit, but it's all pinned in the back, so it looks so svelte, so trim and neat. Yeah. All the world around us tries to offer you something. And in a sense, it's very careful under legal recourse. This can be yours. One time as I was looking at MSN News, it had one of these little blurbs about this guy that was in one of these body-shaping commercials. And it shows him in the commercial, in the picture, and he's trim, and he's looked buff, and the muscles are expanded. And then it shows that within the same day, what he really looks like. And it's, you wouldn't think it was the same person. And so what happens in marketing is this can be yours, but then you have to find out what does it take to get that. And sometimes it's when you look at the price tag, you go, no. At least I hope you say no sometimes. You know, and sometimes, you know, as they say with the gym, no pain, no gain. You know, and they talk about how like in January with New Year's resolutions, people buy all this fitness stuff, you know, for Christmas and after Christmas sales and all that. And then guess how long it takes before that stuff is idle? Not long. Within 4 to 5 weeks, people stop. Well, right before today's gospel reading, it's really interesting. In that same chapter, a question is proposed. Jesus said, "Who do crowds say that I am?" In verse 19 of this chapter 9, they answered, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets of old, have risen." And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and the third day be raised." Quite a contrast, isn't it? Because the Mount of Transfiguration tells us what Jesus is going to become in his fullness and in his glory and visible. And yet before that happens, it tells us what he will do. It tells us about he must suffer. And we know about the cross. We know about the whipping. We know about the crown of thorns. We know about the mockery and the slapping and the taunting, and the ridicule. We know about the betrayal by Judas and the fear of everyone else, and they run and hide. We know about the tears of the women who watch from a distance. We know about the temple leaders, and they're trying to make his humiliation greater by saying he saved himself, come down. And yet he remained. What a contrast picture it is, isn't it? The Mount of Transfiguration shows us Christ in his glory. And so why? Why would it show up at this point in his journey? It's a reminder to stay the course. It's a reminder of what he guarantees. It's to help us envision, because as much as we can be abstract thinkers, we are people who like to see it, to believe it. He gives us hope by his very own self and his own appearance of what glory really is. And he says, this is who I am. And as God says, this is my son, listen to him. Jesus is the way of salvation. He reminds us what is in store for us. And yet, on that journey for Christ is this cross, this suffering, and his death. And yet, God the Father said, listen to him, because he's telling us that Jesus goes in our stead. That cross is not my cross, it's his. And yet, Jesus does warn us. He does tell us that it is going to be with trial and testing and tribulation that we come to the kingdom of God. And the question is, why? It's because even though in the glory that Christ shows, the price is paid, and it's paid by him, when we look at Jesus, we still say in a very worldly way, no, that's too much. I don't want to get up and worship. I don't want to have to be in the Word. If there was the Staples Easy button for the church, we could have the biggest congregation in the community, right? You know? But living the faith hurts, doesn't it? It's tough to forgive. It's tough staying the course with all the flavors of the world around us as if it was a banquet, a feast of self-indulgence. And the aroma of it is attractive. But Christ gives us a picture, himself, the Word in the flesh, showing the glory of God. And it's unlike anything else. Because if you go to Abercrombie and Fitch and you put on, well, let me put it this way. If I put on their clothing, it still doesn't work. But with Christ, when he gives us his righteousness, it works. When Christ proclaims his judgment, you are forgiven, it works. When Christ proclaims his declaration, the kingdom of heaven is yours, it works. When Christ says, I have prepared a place for you, it is true. All of this is symbolized in a few moments on a mountaintop. Each year at this time of the year, we go to this mountaintop to envision it again and again. Why? Because we often lose that imagery from our eyesight. We think about other things. We think about Super Bowl. We think about all the extra food, those chicken wings, and everything else. We think about, you know, whatever we want to ponder and the things of this world so ever much have our focus and our attention. And we forget the eternal. So Jesus is telling us, look at Him. God says, listen to Him. Not simply as a sales pitch, but about what is yet to come. That this is for you. And He leads the way. He goes to Calvary for you. He goes to the tomb for you. He rises from the tomb for you. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father for you. And you know the next part, right? He will come again. Guess what? For you. And when He does, He'll come in His glory. You see, Moses and Elijah had a conversation with Jesus about His departure. We can think of that Old Testament book, Exodus. The leaving of slavery, you know, from the time of Egypt and going into the promised land. And here Christ in His glory with Moses and Elijah, they're speaking about a departure from a world of sin and to the fullness of the kingdom of God. And one day, as He shows Himself in glory to us, He's going to come again. As you go to the mall, as you go to the stores, as you see the mannequins and the posters and the billboards, and they promote, this can be you. This is for you. Let them be a reminder that there's something greater that is already yours. It is the glory of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the peace of Christ, the presence of Christ. And one day, at His choosing, you will have it in the full. And all the struggles as we fight by faith, you will know it is worth it. Amen.